So we were talking before actually about second-line therapy for patients with 17p deletion and the issue of venetoclax and anti-CD20 therapy being effective. What do we know? And this ties in also to the issue of what to use first. What do we know about responses to BTK inhibitors if people start out with venetoclax, or do we have data on that?
So this brings us to the important question of sequencing of these therapies, huh? Where do we put chemotherapy? Where do we put ibrutinib? Where do we put venetoclax? So here, clearly now, as ibrutinib is established across all age and comorbidity groups as a superior frontline treatment as compared to chemotherapy, and we have more experience, longer follow-up for the trials with ibrutinib. Ibrutinib is the preferred treatment option for the majority of patients in the frontline setting. Now, venetoclax is also established and approved now for the frontline treatment. However, we have also more evidence available for venetoclax being useful after ibrutinib failure. We have actually a prospective trial showing that venetoclax is efficacious after ibrutinib failure. The other way around, ibrutinib after venetoclax failure, we have less data available. Now, on the other hand, you can argue when we use venetoclax fixed duration treatment, we have two options in relapse. If the relapse occurs after a long period of time, let's say 3, 4, 5 years, we can institute venetoclax retreatment, or we could use ibrutinib. So the number of options that we have available is increasing, and I think this is a very favorable news for our patients.
So in a patient in whom you're discussing, I'm going to go back to the non-del17P for a second, the options of ibrutinib or venetoclax, obinutuzumab, you already described how you feel about the efficacy, indirect comparisons or the longer follow-up, et cetera, with the ibrutinib. But if the patient says to you, what about my quality of life? How I'm going to feel over the next few years? How would you compare these two directions?
Both treatment options, ibrutinib and venetoclax, are very well tolerated, usually. Huh? We have a bit of an AE profile. Yes, we do. I mean, ibrutinib, we have the atrial fibrillation that can come about. We have hypertension. We have a bit of a bleeding issue. With venetoclax, we have this a bit cumbersome initial treatment initiation with this ramp up, with this tumor lysis syndrome, prophylactic measures, and so on. But after that, venetoclax is very well tolerated. Most of the patients that I know on venetoclax actually don't have anything. They feel nothing. They say, I take those pills and I feel like I weren't taking them. So it's a very well tolerated treatment. And both of them actually, fortunately so, are. For some patients, really, this finite treatment duration with venetoclax is a tempting thing. For others, actually, this indefinite therapy with ibrutinib appears favorable because they say, well, I have this medication, it helped me, and I feel safe if I just continue taking it because I know it works, and if I continue taking it, I know it keeps the disease in check. So actually, also, both options, indefinite therapy or finite treatment duration, for some patients have their particular individual flavor.